I'll spare you my usual comment about people walking out when I start preaching, but Acts chapter 12, please. This is the beginning of a new series. I think it's a 3 or 4 week series on the topic of prayer. And today I'm going to be giving you a overview, sharing with you some scriptures, sharing with you some thoughts, and really some experiences that I've had over the years. Those of us who are parents here know how important first impressions are upon a child, upon a baby, as that baby comes out of the womb, as the baby cleaned up by the nurse, given back to the mother, to the father, and you love on that child, you shower blessings, as it were, upon them, and the child's welcomed into your family, and the child feels the love of the family, and the child gains security, the child gains relationship, and then they become teenagers. No, but but those initial impressions are so important in the life of a child. Well, it's the same way in the life of a Christian. I've shared my testimony here before, and you all have your testimonies, and you remember perhaps the first impressions that were made upon your heart, that were made upon your life by the persons that brought you into the family of God. And there was one particular family, the Barillo family, that made a huge impression upon me. And the impression that they made upon me was prayer. And really, going back to my days at Martin Road, great impression made upon me about prayer. Just before the evening service at, I think it was 5:30, John Bofa would go down and set up like 12, 16 chairs. And I was thinking back, and I sort of remember where people used to sit. And I used to join them as a 18-year-old, you know, just 18, 19 years old. I'd go down there and pray with them. And that made a huge impression on me. Tuesday night, prayer meeting, you know, would be sort of set up in a certain, sort of like a square, but meant to be like a circle. And that, and I remember I used to sit on the left-hand side. The Graham family would take up the whole row in back, you know. And we would start with prayer. We would pray. You know, later on, Friday evenings, we would have a time of singing, a time of prayer. Sunday evenings, we'd go over Bob Montgomery's sister's apartment. We'd have a time of singing. We'd have a time of prayer. Prayer was huge. In the late 80s, early 90s, Joe Brillo got together this huge, seemed huge to me, prayer meeting. You know, we met once a week. Giant impression made upon my life. We prayed through problems at his work. We prayed through problems at my work, relationships that I had at the time, the decision to leave one church and go to another. Difficult decisions, painful decisions that required earnest prayer. And really helped make me who I am today. Not to say that I'm anybody, but those impressions that were made upon me as a young Christian endured. And hopefully they endure this day. Life's different now, a lot more demands upon time, and you know, everything's different, but God is still the same. He's still there. He's still powerful. And we really need to know him. We need to trust him and walk with him and call upon him. So I want to start reading from Acts chapter 12, just bits and pieces of it, because it's important. And when he, I'm going to start with verse 3, and this he here is Herod. And when he saw, and when Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, and when he had seized him, He put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. And on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guard in front of the door were watching over him. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side, roused him, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so, and he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And let's jump ahead to verse 11. And when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people were expecting." And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying earnestly. And when he knocked at the door, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the front of the gate. And they said, "You're out of your mind." But she kept insisting it was so. And they kept saying, "It's his angel," because they figured he was dead. Herod knocked off James, and Herod beheaded him. Just the way they knew it was going to be, they thought. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. Let's stop right there. And isn't that, we'll talk about this a little bit more later on, but isn't that the way it is sometimes? You pray earnestly, God answers the prayer, and you don't believe it. You know, it's, come on, you know. But God does answer prayer. And prayer is huge. Prayer is important in the Christian life. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. One of the main things that the... Is this on? One of the... Okay. Well, this is acting a little bit differently, but that's fine. That's fine. So... See what's up. Okay. "As the outward man is not fit for any length of time unless he eats, so it is with the inner man. What is the food for the inner man? Not prayer, but the Word of God. Not the simple reading of the Word of God so that it only runs through our minds just as water runs through a pipe. No, we must consider what we read, ponder over it, and apply it to our hearts." It seems like an odd event from the life, or odd instruction from George Mueller to share. Because we know George Mueller was a great man of prayer. As you grow up in the Lord, as I did, I read his biography and I was amazed. They would set out plates for dinner, you know the story, and then they had no food and they would pray. And then a milk truck broke down. Milk carriage, whatever they called it then, and milk could be provided. And then another person who had an excess of food would come in and provide for the orphanage as well. Just amazing stories. Hudson Taylor, his spiritual secret, if you've ever read the book, going to China, that whole event and how the Lord provided for them. But what's important to realize that if you're going to be a man, if you're going to be a woman, if you're going to be a person of prayer, you have to know the God to whom you are praying. You have to have knowledge of him. You have to have knowledge of his ways. You want to pray according to his will. And it's important. Our strength doesn't come from prayer. It comes from the Word of God. God answers prayer, and he strengthens us too. But keep in mind, it's the Word of God, not a simple reading that only passes through our minds. It's what we ponder and apply to our hearts. We need to know the God to whom we pray. We need to trust Him. Think back to William Carey in India in that great statement that he made about prayer, which just escaped me right now, but maybe you know it. It's a huge thing. But in our culture, we talk about the power of prayer, and we just read the power of prayer. But we want to be careful because we want to be able to relate to our culture. And when our culture hears the power of prayer, what do they think of? They think Star Wars. They think force. They think that there's an energy in the universe. Take it back to John chapter 1 that Jason read. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. That Logos to the Greeks was the creative energy that was in the world that was sort of unknowable, okay? But it somehow worked in that, and they created their pantheon of gods and this kind of thing. And people today who are spiritually minded, you hear a lot of that today. Oh, do you believe in God? Well, I'm spiritual, okay? And I'm not mocking. This is what they believe, okay? And this is what they believe about the universe, and that by prayer we can go out and harness that. And sadly, in Christianity, that's played to, so-called Christianity. We have the faith healers. We have the health, wealth, and prosperity people who try to teach a technique. They try to teach a form, okay, that you can harness that energy or that God, so-called, and use Him for your benefit, okay? But that's not the way it is, okay? Our faith is in the power of the omniscient, omnipotent, holy God. This is who we're talking about. This Logos from John chapter 1 and verse 1 was the Word of God, Jesus Christ. He is a person. He is knowable. Go back to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. He whom we've seen with our eyes, touched with our hands, heard with our ears. Real and knowable. So it's a great contrast to what the world is talking about. And we need to have a practical working knowledge of God's Word. If God's going to lead us, we need to know how He's going to lead us. And oftentimes, it's through the Word of God. As we pray, as the Holy Spirit works within our heart, as the Holy Spirit leads us, how does He do it? With Scripture. Scripture that you've come to know, Scripture that you've memorized, Scripture that you've pondered upon. That's how He leads you. So if you don't know that, you know, you're missing out. So you need to know God. You need to know His Word. And these are the necessary ingredients that come together to form a prayer warrior. Our God is knowable. This is no, in a sense, there's no mystery. Okay? The Word of God is real. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God works. And you need to know it. You need to know it. Great quote by D.A. Carson. Effective prayer is the fruit of relationship with God, not a technique for acquiring blessing. And that stands in contradistinction to a lot of what we hear on a lot of what people who deny Christianity say. Well, look at this guy. Look at that guy. Look at his airplane. Look at his multi-million-dollar mansion. Come on. You know, and it brings disrepute to Christianity, to real Christianity. And it's upon us as men and women of God to present a proper model of what a Christian is. And he does this. It's the fruit of a relationship with God. We've finished in the last month or so, last couple months now, I suppose, our study of Ephesians. We talked about Ephesians chapter 1. We talked about the fact we have relationship with God, that he foreknew us from the foundation of the world. He chose us in him that we might be holy and blameless. Think of Romans chapter 8. We've been adopted into his family. And think about that for a moment. Adopted into his family. You didn't just happen. Adoptions just don't happen, do they? You go out and seek a child. You pay the price for the child. And adoption's expensive. At least my understanding of it is. A great price is paid. Well, a great price was paid for you and I, too. This morning, upon this table, was the bread and the wine, symbolizing the awesome sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, the price that was paid to adopt you into his family. You have real relationship with him. And through our Lord Jesus Christ, you have real connection to the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto him but through me, through Jesus. I am connected to Jesus. We have his Holy Spirit. You've been bought with a price, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. And it's the Holy Spirit, according to Romans chapter 8. Those groanings, we don't know how to pray, you know about that. We don't know how to pray, but he takes those groanings to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus takes them to the Father. Read the book of Hebrews that Jason was referencing this morning, chapter 2, chapter 4, and so on, about the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus. It's an awesome thing. God is the source of grace, peace, power, and blessing. He freely bestows blessings upon his children, but he does so as a wise father, giving according to need, not want. Now, we talk often here. We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus. There is a great commission. God doesn't call everyone to be an evangelist. He doesn't call everyone to be a preacher, but he does call us all to model Christ. Because when the preacher preaches, people are going to think about Christians they know, and what are they going to know? Who are they going to know? What is our behavior like? We are representing heaven. We are representing the God of heaven. We are the only letters that people are going to read, as it were, that tells what a Christian is like. You want to know what a Christian is? Oh, look at this person. Look at that person. They're Christians. Look at their character in that. And he blesses us in this regard. So we have to know that. When we pray to God, we have to know what to pray for. It comes from the Word of God. We want to be witnesses, and you shall be my witnesses. Again, maybe it's not verbal, but it's the life that you lead. Wherever he has sent us out, we come from all, look at here, we come from all different cities, we come from all different walks of life. But wherever we are, we represent our Lord Jesus. And he gives us the grace, the power, and the peace to do so. And when we need direction, it's sort of like John Piper. You know, John Piper likes to use the analogy of prayer as like a walkie-talkie. You know, wartime communication. So if we think of ourselves as ambassadors, when we pray, seeking direction, he answers back. Because what God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you and I have a role to play in that. And he empowers us to do so. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Can you imagine being Peter? Peter's a fisherman. Peter saw how they responded to the Lord Jesus. Oh, you have no education. Yet, no one spoke like Jesus. You break the Sabbath, but Jesus healed. They saw the self-sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, and they were overwhelmed by his power. They were overwhelmed by his love. Imagine how overwhelmed they were when he said, and as Josh spoke a couple weeks ago, at the ascension, you're going to do greater works than me. Peter's a fisherman. He's not skilled in language. He's not skilled in organizational behavior. How is he going to do it? The Holy Spirit's going to come. And the Holy Spirit's going to make the difference, because he's going to take all those teachings of the Lord Jesus. He's going to bring them to your remembrance. And those teachings that you've read, that you thought upon, that you ponder, that's going to become your fuel. That's going to become your bread. And he is going to do immeasurably more, Peter, Leo, and all of you out there than you can ever imagine. And he's going to do that work by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. He's going to do through us. And we receive our direction from God. We receive power and strength from him. It's an awesome thing. Just a word on, another word on prayer and the Trinity in prayer. Prayer is directed to the Father. You know the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer out of Matthew chapter 6, out of Luke. Our Father, who art in heaven. That's the way I learned it. Our Father who art in heaven in the Old English. I like to say the Old English with an E too. But that's who our prayer is directed to. And prayer is in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know the great battle that's going on in our culture today. Oh, we would love to have you come to our event and to pray, but not in the name of Jesus. And those who do so in the name of Jesus, it takes great power. It takes great confidence. Because the world might be willing to pray and grasp the power of the force, but it isn't willing to submit to God in Christ Jesus. And it is Christ Jesus whom the Father has set up. It is to him every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. So in the same way, it's at the name of Jesus. Jesus who is seated at the right hand of the Father. Prayer is in his name. And then prayer is in the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. He is the same Spirit who is working and who is living within us. Empowering us, empowering Dunning Park Bible Chapel, empowering the MOPS leaders here at Dunning Park to reach out and touch the lives of mothers who need somebody to love them. It is the Holy Spirit who, with Karen Boyce and those of you, shepherd those children while the mothers are in there. Can you imagine what a great blessing it is to them? My wife was once in MOPS too. And it was a great blessing, both at Lakeside and here at Dunning Park, to come and to, talk to adults. You know, that's huge. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit lifting up Jesus. Because who is it that's touching those people? It's you, but it's God working through you. You are His hands. You are His feet. You are the body that's there loving those people in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. And we end our prayers with amen. So be it. Not everybody, but I like to do that. You know, so be it. We have confidence in the will of God and what we're doing in that. So why pray? Well, we talked about it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray, we live this Christian life for the glory of God. And how is God leading you? You might think, well, what am I doing? That's so important. You're a mother. You're a father. You're an employee. You're a bus driver. You're carting kids back and forth to UPBC, to Bear Lake, to Wildwood, to wherever. You're helping out with Sunburst. You're helping out with Stockade. You're helping out with MOPS and many more things that I don't even know about that you do. You're doing it for the glory of God, and you're impacting the kingdom of God. And we need to pray because our enemy is strong. Because you're reaching into the kingdom of darkness. You're walking into the kingdom of darkness, and it's a powerful kingdom. You see, in areas of the world where there isn't the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, except for a few, and you see the battle they're in. You see their lives that are lost. You see Andrew Brunson sitting in a Turkish jail, sacrificing 20 years of his life, pastoring a church, loving the Turkish people, thrown into prison. Why? It's for Jesus, thy kingdom come. We pray, we worship. We worship here this morning. We use prayer to communicate with God. Repentance, when a person repents and turns to Jesus, what do? You pray. You call upon God. And then through the whole of Christian life, salvation and discipleship, we're growing in relation to God. And then, of course, we pray as we need physical and financial help. We have so many sick amongst us. We're praying for Emily Wright. We've been praying for Tom Coombs. We've seen Tom Coombs raised up in a manner of speaking. Nancy Reed, who we prayed for. So many of you are here today, a result of God empowering you when you were down. And it was the people of God praying. It was the Lord Jesus Christ making intercession for you. Psalm 57, 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. And isn't that so? We honor God because of what He did. Just real quickly here, came across this from Joe Carter, and just some interesting little facts. 650 prayers in the Bible, 415 recorded. Answers to prayer, I can email this to you. It's not a huge deal, but I thought it important. You know, there's so much in the Word of God on prayer, and, you know, we don't always quantify it in that. 450 answers to prayer, the first and, you know, so on. The Bible records Jesus praying. The Son of God, God the Son, would often have to leave and pray. He prayed at night. How much more do we need to pray in our ministry and that? Different types of prayer that are found in the Bible. Prayer of agreement, corporate prayer, prayer of request, petition and supplication. All these things we use. Prayer of intercession. Praying in the Spirit. So much here. The Bible has so much to pray, and I would ask you to look forward to the upcoming sermons. We're going to get into specific topics and dig into those, and you're going to be blessed, I'm sure. Hindrances to prayer. Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. The songs that Matt and the group shared, create in me a clean heart, O God. Psalm 51, I find myself often praying as. Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know me. We can't regard iniquity in our heart. We have to confess it, 1 John 1, 9, or our prayers are going to be hindered. But also in your relationships. You can read wives here too, but husbands, in the same way, be considerate the way you live with your wives, so nothing will hinder your prayers. Relational problems will hinder your prayers. We need to be right with our spouses. It's very important. It's the way God intends it. And then doubt, James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. The man should not ask, should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man. When we come before God, we must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We have to believe. We can't go before him with doubt. It's something we need to work on, maybe, okay? Because we don't feel adequate, or maybe there's some type of sin in our lives. Both can be dealt with by the Word of God and getting to know your God and walking with him. And then responses to prayer in Scripture. We read surprise as a result of earnest prayer. Sometimes we're shocked that God answers our prayer. But he does. He does. But sometimes it's not always yes. Luke 13:13, there's an answer to prayer. And praise. And you know about that. The praise that we shower upon God when he answers prayer positively, as it were. But there's also disappointment. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There are times when we pray to God to remove something from our lives. And God says, no. I've got it there for a reason, Paul. Because sometimes in life, life gets so good that we get so conceited. We think it's us and not God. That's a temptation for all of us. If it's true for Paul, it's true for you and me. And God will send trials into our lives, and we have to endure those trials. It's all part of growing in Christ. It's all part of, I can't, but you do. It's all part of submitting to God. And it's not easy. How is it that when things go well, something goes wrong? And it's not saying that it's God saying, oh, I got to zap you, you know. It's just part of life, okay? It's part of being in the world. It's part of our battle with the flesh. It's part of our battle with the world. It's part of satanic attack upon us as well. God permits these things that we realize the power is not from us, but the power is in him and from him and through him and to him and for his glory. So again, you know, encouragements. Prayer is a great example of the need of our need for God. It is important that we make prayer a priority for our family, for our church, for our nation. For the longest time, on Saturday mornings, once a month or so, Andy, a group of us would meet at Andy's house and pray for our nation. It was an awesome time. I loved it, you know. We pray for missions. We have a WIC meeting in November. We pray for the persecuted church. We have pamphlets that we make available. We pray for missions. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous man is effective. Your prayer as a man or woman of God or as a child of God is effective. You might not see the answer today. You might not see it tomorrow. You might never see the answer because God's working. That's where faith comes in. It's not always easy. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which is huge to me, without ceasing, have an attitude of prayer. We can pray at all times, anywhere. Okay, Luke 18, pray and don't give up. The story of the unrighteous judge. Unrighteous judge didn't want to answer. Get out of my life. Kept being persistent. Got the answer she wanted. Now, God's the righteous judge, but he wants us to come before him persistently and earnestly. Why? So that we realize we need him. And it's in his timing too. It might not be in his timing to answer the prayer right now. It might be in his timing to wait. So we need to bear that in mind. And then encouragements, from George Mueller. No one ought to expect to see much good resulting from his labors in word and doctrine if he is not given to prayer and meditation. So if you want to serve God, you need to meditate on his word and you need to pray. Two things that are difficult to do because there's great resistance, not only internally but externally as well, from the world, from the devil, and that. Because he knows that when you're submitted to God and you're praying, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be at work. Jesus is going to be glorified. Strongholds are going to be knocked down. So our God is real. Our God is alive. He calls you to pray. He wants to work through you. He wants to work through me. But we have to be before him. We have to be willing vessels. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present yourself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable for us as Christians to do this. So let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father and God, we're grateful to you for the awesome work of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. We're thankful, Father, that we can participate by sharing a testimony, but living a life for the Lord Jesus as well, and modeling what a Christian is. Father, we've heard a lot today. Take what we need and apply it to our hearts. You are the great physician. And we pray, Lord, that we would live here blessed because of your word and the power of your word, so that we would truly desire to glorify our Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.